Welcome back to another Super Bowl edition of Believe in 49ers, presented by the Believe Podcast Network and Bet Online. I am your host, Tommy Call the Third. You can follow me on Twitter at Tommy_III. That is triple I for the third. You can also catch all of my written work about the 49ers via USA Today's Niners Wire. Just this morning, I posted my 7 favorite prop bets for the Super Bowl. So if you're interested in that type of thing, you know where to go. And fellas, ladies, and gentlemen, it is officially Super Bowl weekend, almost Friday when we're recording this, here on Believe in 49ers. And while we just posted an extensive betting breakdown of the big game, we are back for a deep dive into the actual game between the 49ers and the Chiefs. And today, folks, I called on the closer, Q Enter Sandman, calling from the bullpen right now, Kyle Madsen, the managing editor of Niners Wire, the host of Candlestick Chronicles, the host of Insiders on ESPN 1320, the namesake of one of my favorite beers, Candlestick Chronicles by Cooperage Brewing Company here in Santa Rosa, California. Kyle will be joining us on the podcast today to just break down the Super Bowl. Obviously, I work with Kyle. We talk a ton about the 49ers kind of behind the scenes with different things, and he's great at what he does, and he stopped by today to provide some critical and really good insight into this game, I think, and it was great to talk with him. But before we get to Kyle here on Believe in 49ers, I have a quick message from our friends over at Bet Online. The big game is finally here. Bet Online is your number one source for playoff football odds, stats, trends, and lines, with everything from point spread to hundreds of player performance props. With dozens of odds, props, and info on hundreds of sports events, politics, and entertainment, you can access the world's best wagering information anytime from desktop or your mobile devices. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action. BetOnline, the game starts here. And now, what starts here on Believe in 49ers is our guest, Kyle Madsen.
All right. Welcoming on a very, very special guest on the pod today. My point guard, my coach, my boy, Kyle Madsen, the managing editor of Niners Wire. You heard me talk about it before. The host of the Insiders on ESPN 1320 in Sacramento, and the host of the Candlestick Chronicles podcast. Kyle Madsen. I'm part of the Kyle Madsen tree. Like, I'm on like Mike McDaniel to Kyle Shanahan. I'd like to consider that me and Kyle. Sorry, yeah, no, Kyle. Let's get into it.
That's big time for me. I have not had a tree before. And I mean, you didn't need me for this, but I'll take it. Like, if you're gonna hand it out, I'll take it.
Yeah, I like being a part of the branch. I mean, it makes me feel good.
If that's a good first branch. Yeah, no, for sure.
All right, Kyle, let's get into it. Love Island All-Stars, new format this season. They brought back some of our favorite Islanders from the past. Exes living under the same roof. My bad. Wrong podcast.
Wrong pod.
My bad. Let me get to the right Google Doc here. The Super Bowl, Kyle. Here we go. How are we feeling? We've had almost 2 weeks to think about it. We made it. But how did we get here?
Carefully, I think. It's been weird because the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, it's like the draft, right? Like, I know you're a big draft guy. And when you're watching games in college games, that is, in September and October, there may be a player that you're just super in on. And then by the time April 22nd comes around, you're just kind of out. Like, you've changed your mind entirely, and vice versa. Guys that you were out on that you watch more and you get more tape on and more notes on, you just start to kind of like that player more than you did. That's kind of what happens I think during the 2 week lead up to the Super Bowl. I have waffled so many times on, I think the Niners are going to win. I think the Chiefs are going to win. There's no way the Niners are going to win. Well, maybe they just blow them out like they blew out Dallas and Philly. So it's a rigorous 2 weeks, but we've made it, and the 49ers made it more difficult by, I think, struggling a little bit in the playoffs and being such a kind of Jekyll and Hyde team versus what we saw September through December, where it was this team that with that minor hiccup from weeks, six to eight, where they lost three in a row, they were dominant, just super dominant. And then they get into the playoffs and they face a 7 seed, they have to come back and win. And then they face the Lions at home, they're down 17, they have to battle back and win, and had some fortunate plays go their way in that game. So which 49ers team do we get? I don't really know. I wish I did, because that eased a lot of anxiety, but that's kind of where we're at.
And I think that that sense of waffling kind of speaks to, like, I think this is just flat out going to be a close game. Like, I think, like, mm-hmm. I completely agree with you. I mean, I think these two teams are kind of deserving to be here and make for a good matchup. You know, speaking of matchup, obviously on the tip, I think, of everybody's tongues with this game is Patrick Mahomes versus Brock Purdy. I spend a lot of time on this podcast specifically kind of singing the praise of Brock Purdy, but some of the stuff you just mentioned kind of speaks to it. And I kind of want to be critical for a second, because, like I said, I've been so positive heading into the Super Bowl against a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes. What's kind of your Brock worry meter at? You know, do you think they'll be able to lean on him heavily as they have done in these last two playoff games to kind of get wins? Where are you kind of standing on Brock at this point heading into his first Super Bowl start?
I'm it's a nuanced question, right? Because we so badly want to be like, this guy stinks or this guy is awesome. I think Purdy falls somewhere in the middle. I'll frame it like this. I am more confident that Brock Purdy can win a Super Bowl than I was that Jimmy Garoppolo can win a Super Bowl. I think that if the 49ers are leaning on him to carry them to a victory, it means something went horribly wrong. I don't love Brock Purdy trying to come back from two scores down against this very good Kansas City defense and against the defensive coordinator and Steve Spagnuolo, who thrives on confusing quarterbacks and generating pressure that makes their life difficult. And as good as Brock has been, we've seen him make some really questionable decisions, particularly in the playoffs. So I think if the Niners have to lean on Purdy, where the Chiefs are selling out to stop the run, Christian McCaffrey's not getting going on the ground, Debo Samuel stuff isn't working on the ground, and it's constantly third and long, and it's constantly Brock Purdy, I think the Niners might be in some trouble, because that game script doesn't favor them. On the other hand, if their run game is working enough that they can run play action and they can get in second and short or third and short, where they can do a lot of the things that Purdy thrives on, well, now all of a sudden, I think that he's more than capable of winning them the game. And whether that makes him a game manager or whatever, he's a good quarterback who can operate this system at a high level. Would he be good with the Panthers? I don't know. And frankly, for this game, it doesn't matter. We saw the Niners hang up 30 points a game, or nearly 30 points a game. We saw them come back from 17 points down with Brock Purdy making plays outside the structure of the offense. So I think he's good enough to win it. If he's having to go throw for throw with Patrick Mahomes, I don't love that. So that's where I land.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I think it's almost like anytime I think about this game, it's kind of just blaring like the 49ers need to establish not even the run, because that's such a simple phrase, but just establish Christian McCaffrey, like get him going. And it's crazy to think that through two playoff games where he's had over 100 total yards, it feels like his impact specifically hasn't been felt. And if you're Steve Spagnuolo, who, you know, as big a key is in this game, I think, as anyone, I think it probably starts with taking that away. And, you know, Christian McCaffrey is just, in my 100% opinion, is the key in this one. Yep. And how do the 49ers kind of get him going? Because throughout the season, it felt like it's been so easy. It felt like McCaffrey's been so good that we almost don't even talk about him, right? Because it's kind of you write him off as like 100 yards and a touchdown. He's going to kind of be the fuel to this offense, but it hasn't felt like that for 2 weeks. And now you're facing arguably, not even arguably, the best defense in football and the biggest game of the season. How do you get him going?
So I think on the McCaffrey front, I don't have his numbers in front of me. Let me grab those real quick. But I will say he didn't have a huge game from a numbers standpoint in the NFC title game, but he was super effective. The Lions were selling out to stop him, and he was still finding ways to create yards. There were probably half a dozen carries that looked like they were going to go for zero or 1 yard, and he winds up turning it into three or four. And I know that doesn't sound, compared to an explosive 35-yard run, a 4 or 5 yard gain doesn't sound like much. But with this 49ers team, like I just said, the difference between second and nine and second and five is just massive. And McCaffrey can create yards that way. In the run game, his availability as a check down option and turning a play that might have been a sack before his arrival into a first down, like that, the difference, like third and long versus first and 10 is massive in a game like this. So I got his Lions numbers here. So it goes 90 rushing yards, a couple of touchdowns against Green Bay. He had 98 rushing yards and a couple of touchdowns. The massive, explosive plays weren't there. He had a 39-yard run against Green Bay, had a 25-yarder against Detroit, but his ability to churn out yards, even when everybody in the stadium knows that the defense is trying to stop him and him only, is huge in this game. And even against a Kansas City run defense that hasn't been very good this year, they're 27th in run defense DVOA. They allowed 4.5 yards a carry. That was 24th in the league. I think you're going to see Shanahan exploit that. Even if they're selling out, even if they're putting additional bodies in the box, I think you're going to see the Niners try and get their run game going. And I think they'll have some success just by virtue of McCaffrey being able to grind out tough yards.
You just mentioned him, and I think it's one of like the more underrated aspects of this game. And we haven't really talked about it a ton. I don't see it being talked about enough, at least in my opinion, is just the Kyle Shanahan against Andy Reid factor of this game. I mean, in my opinion, granted, I've watched them a lot closer this season, working with you doing this podcast, but I thought Kyle Shanahan as a play caller has been really good, maybe one of his best years. And it seems like he's just been so consistent. And now you're going against Andy Reid, who's, again, arguably one of the best coaches in football, one of the legends of this generation. We just talked about Steve Spagnuolo, who's been amazing. What do you think of just the coaching matchup, the brains kind of behind the operation of this game? Because I think it's fascinating. I think that's just one, like it's a true chess. I don't think you can go lean either way and go, Shanahan's going to exploit this, Andy Reid's going to take advantage of this, because they're just really, really good at their job.
Yeah, and that's the one I go back to is not necessarily the 2019 Super Bowl, which is what keeps getting brought up. I think the Week 7 matchup between these teams last year is really instructive in that regard. The Niners were in that game offensively. It was 14-13 late in the second half. They have a 3rd-and-3 at the Chiefs 5, and Garoppolo throws a just abysmal interception. And then on the other side, you have Andy Reid going jet sweeps to Mecole Hardman twice for 28 yards and a couple of touchdowns. It was a lot of Isaiah Pacheco. It was a lot of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then it was beating the Niners over the top after that. And they just pulled away in the fourth quarter after the Niners made it. I think they made it 28-23 early in the fourth, and then the Chiefs scored the last like 16 points. But that's where I look at this game and I'm going, man, the Chiefs defense is really, really good. But we saw Shanahan get them last year. And then we saw Andy Reid get the Niners last year. And the Niners defense, I think last year was better than it was this year. And so it feels like a little bit of a wash to me. And in that scenario, it's hard not to lean toward the coach that has won two out of the last three Super Bowls, or two out of the last four, I guess. So if that, I think that that's a fascinating offensive matchup, and I think you're going to see maybe a little bit more offense than people are expecting. But I think the total is like 48 or 48 and a half.
47 and a half, I think, is what it was. Yeah,
that's a lot of points for a Super Bowl. featuring a top three and a top eight defense or wherever the Niners finish. So, no, I think it's going to be interesting to watch, but I really think that because of their creativity and because of their ability to generate yards and exploit defensive rules and weaknesses and this and that, I think that's why, to me, it's going to come down to who makes the first mistake, who drops a pass, who throws an interception, who takes a bad sack that puts a team behind the sticks or out of their game script. That's going to be what I'm watching for closest.
It's been kind of few and far between, I think it's fair to say, this season with the 49ers defensive line as a whole playing at an ultra high level. But I think when those front four are really, you know, doing their job like we expect them to do, the 49ers are just a different machine defensively, and it translates to offense. But through the playoffs, and I mean, even throughout most of the regular season, I think it's been a concern of what defensive line is going to show up. And we've talked about a lack of pass rush specifically, and I know Nick Bosa had two sacks in the NFC Championship, but now the containment, you know, I think if one thing that really stuck out to me is just these teams in the playoffs specifically, starting with Matt LaFleur and the Packers, really tried to test the edges of the 49ers run defense. And you saw a lot of guys open pursue and break off these big long yards. I think Andy Reid's probably picked up on that. Isaiah Pacheco has been pretty awesome this year. How big of a concern is that to you? How do you clean this up? And I just, you know, if there's no pass rush, I'm very, very worried. And just like, what's the concern level for you with that?
Really high. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is hard to beat. If you're giving Patrick Mahomes time to move around at his leisure, like that's not great. What I will say for the Niners pass rush, and I don't want to get to Pacheco, but the thing that I think the pass rush is a concern and maybe a problem. The thing I lean toward, though, is the plan they had for Jalen Hurts and the plans they've had for Kyler Murray, where they do a good job of putting these mobile quarterbacks in positions that they're not comfortable in. And I think we saw the Ravens do that too. The Ravens forced Mahomes out to his left a lot and forced him to go back across his body. And he's super talented and he's perfectly capable of making plays while rolling left and throwing back right. I mean, we've seen him do it for more than half a decade now. But that's not where his bread and butter is going to be. So I think that's something that maybe the Niners aren't getting sacks, but if they can get through and move him off his spot and force him to try and make plays with a receiving core that's just not super dynamic, I think that's how you can kind of slow down maybe the best quarterback of all time. Or he's certainly trending that direction. As for the Pacheco thing, that's one I don't know if there's a fix. Like you're either making tackles or you're not. You're either over pursuing or you're not. And there were all these questions about the Niners' like effort in the NFC Championship game, and I just can't wrap my head around the idea that a team went into the NFC title game like, yeah, we'll throw our helmets on the field and win this one. Which to me, Lee, it says there's a bigger problem here. They missed 150 tackles this year as a team. And Fred Warner missed either the most or the second most he's ever missed in his career. Jair Brown is super, super susceptible to overrunning a play. So is Tayshaun Gibson. So is Dre Greenlaw. And that's something I think the Chiefs will exploit with misdirections and whatnot. But on the other hand, when this defense is locked in, there's not a lot of teams that can get sideline to sideline in the second level like they do. There's not a lot of teams that can snuff out a screen like Greenlaw and Warner can, and Deometer Lenore as well. He's been really good down near the line of scrimmage. So this is what it really comes down to for me with the Niners defense. If they're locked in and they're on and they're playing at the level that we know they're capable of playing at, or we've seen them play at, then I think they'll get a lot of stops and it'll be really tough for the Chiefs to score points. But if they look like they did against Detroit and for parts of the game against Green Bay, I don't know how they get stops. I don't know how they stop Isaiah Pacheco when he gets going. Mm-hmm. And when he's going and the Chiefs are in second and short or third and short, I don't know how you're slowing down Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. And it could be you and me running routes out there. If the Chiefs are getting in second and third and short, like that's easy money. And that's the big worry.
Yeah. We're talking with Kyle Madsen here on the pod today, breaking down the Super Bowl, just everything about it. And Kyle, I think one of the things I often like talking to you about, and I think you're really good at, is, you know, seeing the game. I think the Super Bowl specifically is kind of the headliner for this, but there's always those one or two players, and let's not say they're going to win Super Bowl MVP, but make one to two impactful game plays. And you can almost look at every Super Bowl from it, but it's always that underrated guy. Is there kind of a guy that sticks out to you specifically on the 49ers that, say, in a perfect world, we're talking on Monday going, that play swung this game, that moment, that big tackle on third down, that big third down conversion. Is there a guy that kind of sticks out to you that maybe we're not giving some shine to that deserves it?
Juwan Jennings is the player that I keep going back to as a chess piece that the 49ers can use to get the Chiefs into some disadvantageous. Is that right? Is that the right word? Some non-advantageous. Okay. All right. Yeah. That'll play. Here we go. I think that he is they can go out in like 11 personnel and get the Chiefs in dime where they have a bunch of defensive backs on the field, which is what they did against the Ravens. And the Ravens just didn't run against it. It's the weirdest thing. The Niners are going to run against that. Like that's Kyle Shanahan's whole thing, is getting your defense in a spot where they don't have the bodies to stop what you're going to do offensively. And what Juwan Jennings can do as a blocker, both downfield and like on the move, like coming across almost as a tight end, going in motion and slamming himself into the line and taking out a linebacker and clearing out a hole. Like those are the kind of small things that are going to allow the 49ers to defeat the Chiefs defense. And whether, you know, if he does those things, I like the Niners' chances. Maybe he springs McCaffrey with a big block downfield, or springs Brandon Ayuk with a big block downfield. And you mentioned third down conversions. Like his nickname is freaking Third and Juwan. Maybe there's a third and long where he converts and the Niners go on to score a game go ahead touchdown or a game winning touchdown or whatever it is. I could definitely see Juwan Jennings being a player that in the 4 or 5 days after the Super Bowl, the tape heads on Twitter, like supercut of Juwan Jennings springing big runs at Super Bowl, or supercut of these four Juwan Jennings catches for 48 yards and three first downs. I think the player that when we talk about a possible game changer for the 49ers, who's not one of their stars that we always talk about, he really, really sticks out to me.
I completely agree, but I want to, we just got a couple more questions for you here, Kyle. Sure. Before we get out of here, I want to ask you, it's kind of a theory, a little take that I've had, but I've often referred to Debo as, you know, one of the NFL's best like big game players. And I think of like, you obviously like, let's just rule out quarterbacks, but you think of, we talk a lot about in like basketball, like Kobe Bryant, fourth quarter, so clutch, takes over, dominant, a dominant closer, you know, cue Mariano Rivera. Debo, sure, in my opinion, has like a similar effect, because just when the lights are shining, it's like, it's just a different player to an extent. And he's always great, but the impact he has, I think in critical moments, you saw it last week. I mean, was probably one of the more effective players in the second half during that comeback. What is it about Debo in these games? Like, what kind of impact are you expecting from him? But just, do you agree with me in these big moments? It's just, this guy just delivers.
Yeah, I do. And I think it's partly because the Niners go to him in big moments because they know that. One of my favorite clips of like a mic'd up ever is after K'Wan Williams' interception in the divisional round in 2021. I'm sorry, in the wild card round in 2021 against Dallas, at Dallas. K'Wan Williams gets the interception. Debo Samuel grabs his helmet, and as he's going onto the field, he looks at Kyle Shanahan, and he goes, give me the ball. Give me the ball. I'm going to score. And they go screen to Debo Samuel, and he houses it. And that's like, that's the kind of thing, like that's special. Like that's just a little bit different. knowing on a field full of the best gladiators, the best athletes in the world, and Deebo Samuel's going, hey, give me the ball and I'm going to go score a touchdown right now. Like, not in a few plays, not, hey, feed me until I score. It's, hey, on this play, we need to score and I'm going to go do it. And Shanahan obliges because he knows that like you just laid out, Deebo is capable of that. And I really think as much as we've talked about McCaffrey and as much of a key as I think he's going to be, I think you're going to see Deebo Samuel get a ton of work because of that. You looked at their offense struggling against the Lions in the NFC title game. It's like, oh, a lot of Deebo, whether it's a handoff or a little pop pass or a screen or Purdy trusts him like crazy, which I think is going to matter here with blitzes bearing down on him, throwing into tight windows, knowing that Samuel is going to go make a play on it. He's delivered in every big spot for the 49ers. Even in his first Super Bowl, he had a huge game against Kansas City as a rookie. So I'm with you, man. He is a really, really dominant big game player, and I'm expecting more of the same on Sunday.
Yeah, I completely agree. Kyle, I know you got to get out of here, but I couldn't help but asking you one last question, a little off the wall, Super Bowl related. Right. But one of the reasons I think, you know, we get along is because you kind of get me on these things. You know, when thinking about food holidays specifically, you think about Christmas, you think about Thanksgiving, in my opinion. You know, while it's not a major holiday, I would actually throw the Super Bowl in as one of the most underrated kind of food days on the calendar. And I personally always try to go pretty big. I love the assortment of snacks or wings or whatever you want to put it. Do you have, I know you're going to be working, but do you have a plan for your Super Bowl menu yet? Is there something you kind of always lean on? Or do you even have like a Super Bowl snack power ranking? And we'll end it with that.
Man, that's, we could have done an hour on this. I'm not total. So we've had, I don't want to dive all the way into this, but we had to call an audible last second on our Super Bowl festivities. So we're now, instead of doing our shindig that we do up in Reno, we are just hosting, or my parents are hosting at their house. So typically up in Reno, we do barbecue and we go get barbecue. We're not like you. We're not out there with the smoker at 4 a.m. Cooking up grub. Although now that I'm thinking about it, we definitely should have just invited you to our place and had you do the barbecue instead of catering it. Dang. probably barbecue, I would guess. Some ribs. Okay. I'm a big baked potato guy. Like, I love a baked potato, the loaded kind. Like, don't give me just like butter and sour cream. I want the cheese. I want the chives. I'll go ham and bacon. I'll go multi-pig on that. I don't even care. That's a go-to for me. I love wings. I know that's very like cliche. My problem with wings is with my writing gig, it's hard to do wings and write. So if I'm doing wings, it's like I got to do them at halftime. So I usually at halftime I'll grab a wing or two when I'm not working. I'm also a chips and salsa guy. Like any tortilla chips and salsa, guac, any kind of salsa. I don't care if it's pico de gallo or tomatillo or chipotle. I don't care. Give me salsa, and I will eat chips and salsa all day. So if I'm power ranking the snacks, go chips and salsa one, followed by nachos two. I love a good nacho. Wow. And then hit me with some jalapeno poppers. I love a jalapeno popper at four.
Who doesn't?
Is that three or four? Yeah, dude. The things you make, the jalapeno related things you make look unbelievable.
Yeah. We're doing I'm doing homemade lumpia this year.
Oh, damn it. Of course you are.
We're doing a Saturday. Of course you are. And then I'm
I love lumpia, egg rolls. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Damn, man. I got to come to the crib indeed, one time.
We could just absolutely talk about this all day long, but
seriously.
Yeah, I had to ask you that.
Yeah, I wish
you so much, man.
Real quick, hang on. Don't say goodbye to me yet. I got time. Okay. One of my goals in life is to eventually be more of a like big day cook type of thing. Like for me, it's a lot of like charcuterie boards or all grill like some meat or like Thanksgiving. It's, you know, the generic sides, and that's fine. That's all great. But I would love to get into some of the more kind of exotic stuff. at some point in my life. Maybe if I lose some job responsibilities here, I'll take up cooking because I need to get better at it.
I think it kind of speaks to like the soup. Like that's why I like me and my friend group family. We always like that Super Bowl is like the Super Bowl menu. My sister gets really into it too. She's doing wings and a whole bunch of different stuff. I'm doing the lumpia, but that's why I just would have to say it's just one of the more underrated snack and drinking days because there is so much. And like, I love our charcuterie board. I love chips and salsa like that as a meal. And I'm just picking electric. So that's why I think I'm just all in on the Super Bowl snack day.
Yeah. And it starts early. Like it's not, oh, we're waiting for the game to start. Like, no, man, 11 a.m. line them up. Like, let's get going.
Absolutely.
Boys. Yeah, if the 49ers win, it might get ugly. So
I might start the depression eating side of things.
I'm not a big depression eater. Like I'm more just I need to sit alone with my thoughts. If they win, I might consume like 30,000 calories on Sunday.
There we go. The over under is I think sitting at 27,000 with the win. So
I'm taking the over.
And especially mixing in a couple Candlestick Chronicles beers, which I absolutely have in my fridge right now.
My man, come on. We'll
be drinking for the Super Bowl for sure. Kyle, absolutely great to have you. I appreciate you doing this. It's been a long time coming. Wanted to have you on and kind of just talk shop a little bit. But it's great having you, man. Hope you have a great Super Bowl. We'll obviously be talking a ton. And good luck on the show and all that fun stuff today, man. Thank you.
Dude, thank you. Literally ask me anytime.
Thank you again to our guest, Kyle, my buddy. Great talking to him. Make sure you follow him on Twitter at Kyle A. Madson, MADSON. Prefer all that insight. And if you want to subscribe to his podcast at the Candlestick Chronicles, or if you're in the Sacramento area and want to listen to him on The Insiders on ESPN 1320. Like I said, might be a good idea, just really kind of hyping him up here, to grab the beer named after his podcast from Cooperage Brewing Company. If you see it anywhere in the Bay Area, amazing beer, one of my favorite breweries. Lucky enough to live in Santa Rosa and stop there pretty often and have access to their awesome beers. But today, that is going to do it, folks. I think we've said enough. What has said has needed to be said. What has been predicted has needed to be predicted. But that's going to do it. That's going to wrap up our Super Bowl preview coverage of 49ers versus Chiefs. And the next time you hear my voice, the next time we talk here on Believe in 49ers, the Super Bowl will be decided. Until then, you can hit me on Twitter if you want to talk some ball. Got a take on a player for the NFL draft because we're going to start prepping for the combine as soon as the Super Bowl ends. Or if you have a good prop bet I need to take a look at, you know I'll always ride with my Believe in 49ers listeners. Thank you again to everyone for listening. Thank you to Kyle, and thank you to our sponsor, Bet Online. We obviously appreciate you for sticking with us through the whole football season. We made it all the way through the Super Bowl here, people, on Believe in 49ers, and just one game left. Enjoy your Sunday, people. Hopefully you're eating some good food, drinking some good drinks, spending some time. It's going to be a grind no matter what. And I'm not one of those people that says, oh, stay calm, don't worry, there's a lot of game left. Get after it. Let's get crazy. Hopefully I can hear you yelling from wherever you're yelling from my house while watching the Super Bowl. And we'll be back right here on Believe in 49ers as soon as the Super Bowl ends with an instant reaction right here. Until then, thank you everybody for listening.